Today I want to talk about an idea, and this is it. You are always with me. Outside in my backyard, I'm growing three types of plants that produce edible leaves or fruit. I'm growing five chaya plants, one moringa tree, and one avocado tree. I also have a Meyer lemon tree, but that's already grown and has been producing fruit for 5 or 6 years. The roots of these plants are obviously essential to the growth of the plants. No roots, no growth. During meditation recently, the idea came to me, this thought, it was a good feeling thought, you are always with me. I thought about that for a while during that meditation and then afterwards, and then I decided to make it a topic for today's talk. On October 14, 2010, a woman that I had done a kindness for returned the favor by sending me the PDFs of the Christ letters. I had never heard of them, but they have changed my life. I've been studying them in book form now, which is more convenient than the 8.5 by 11 printouts of the PDFs. They've changed my life, and people I've recommended them to have told me essentially the same thing. In December of 2010, a month and a half or so after I started studying the letters, I was to letter 8 out of the 9 letters. And that's where I read that Christ recommended that we learn and memorize the prayer in that letter. And we should allow the consciousness of those words to penetrate our human consciousness. The first 3 words of the prayer are Father, Mother, Life. There are hyphens between those words, Father, hyphen, Mother, hyphen, Life. And the next 4 words are, You are my life. And then it continues. But for today's talk, I just want to deal with the first 7 words. They're the most relevant for this talk. Later on, when I end this service, I'm going to say that entire prayer in pluralized form, and you'll have an opportunity to see how it relates to what I talk about from this moment on. For years, whenever I said a prayer, I would refer to Father God, Mother God. Not just God, and not just God the Father, as is so common in so many Christian prayers and conversation. But I noticed that first day, when I started to say that prayer in letter 8, Father, Mother, Life, I immediately wanted to change it. I immediately wanted to go to Father God, Mother God, and I wanted to use my own opinions, my own beliefs that I already had in place. So I was resistant to this new point of view that these words were, in fact, a better set of words for me to be using. And it's amazing to me. But I've also recognized this pattern over the years that something is presented, seems like a cool idea, and I immediately want to change it. I had the same reaction 8 years ago when I began journaling. It said, do it in this way. And before I put pen to paper that first time on March 3rd, 8 years ago, I wanted to change it. And I caught myself, fortunately, just like I did with this prayer. And I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. If what I have been doing was producing the happiness that I wanted, I wouldn't have to be journaling, or I wouldn't be reaching out trying to understand in greater detail how Christ healed, which has been an interest of mine since I was a youngster. If I already knew that, then I should just use my opinions, my beliefs, my prejudices, my superstitions, my erroneous beliefs, but since they were not producing the happiness that I was looking for or the knowledge that I was looking for, I went, well, you know what? I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way Christ says here, or I'm going to journal the way the author said he found to be more effective. Over the years, I've recognized, here's a real stunner of a realization, that there were females in the world. It's like, God the Father, period. That's it. And even the Trinity that nobody understands, but everybody pretends that it's reality, is there's no female in there. I thought, wow, my mother's a female, my four sisters were females, my girlfriends were females, my wives have been females, my daughters have been females, and my granddaughters have been females. How is it God is unrelated to females? That's really crazy. So that's one of the reasons I became, I'll say, enamored, but in love with the idea of Father God, Mother God. I knew those two energies had to be present, and the Christ letters reinforces that to a tremendous degree. So that idea that females are essential in all of our lives, in fact, in all of creation, is now so obvious, and it's stunning to think of how devalued females are in so many different areas of the world, to include this country. It's like, wow, God is Father God, Mother God, Father, Mother. It's like, oh, well, maybe we should treat females with more respect. I think so. So, learning this prayer in letter 8, and because it's written in a paragraph form, I found it not to be convenient. So I typed it out in a Word document, separated the sentences by spaces, and then it became much easier to memorize. So every night and every morning I would read it aloud, and I would read it before calls or conference calls and so on, just to have it penetrate. And over time, I would see how much I memorized. In a short order, I had it all memorized, and trying to absorb this consciousness of those words as Christ suggested. The first time I recited the prayer, Father, Mother, Life, I thought of my biological father, and I thought of my biological mother. My father, just like everybody's father, was a complicated man. My mother, and just like everybody's mother, was a complicated woman. No one word, no one event, no one characteristic, either virtue or flaw, really would define them. They had many facets to them, as your mothers and your fathers did too. In my life, I experienced a lot of my parents' virtues and some of their flaws. When I was younger, it seemed to me that I remembered the flaws way more effectively than I did their virtues. They seemed to be more vivid, more important, more dramatic than their virtues. But earlier, too, in my life, I recognized this. I seemed to be much more aware of my own flaws, my own frailties, my own weaknesses, than I did my own virtues or strengths or capabilities. Now, I think I'm a little wiser, a little older, a little more compassionate. I realize this is the deal. I'm like a gold miner, and I think you are too. We're like gold miners sifting through a lot of stuff, maybe the dirt, right? Stuff that's not what we're looking for right now. We're looking for things that have more immediate value to us. We're looking for the gold in our experiences that we had with our parents. If we were roots on a tree, we would be reaching deeper into the soil, looking for things that were going to be nutritious. We're looking for things that are going to be nourishing, that are going to help us grow. My chaya plant, my moringa plant, my avocado tree are doing that. Their roots are looking for things in the soil to help them grow. I'm a man. And the reason I'm a man is because my father and my mother conceived me, and my chromosomes aligned to be those of a male instead of a female. So my father and my mother gave me life. in physical form. If you read the Christ letters, and I've been studying since October 14, 2010, almost nightly, that there are a lot of descriptions of this father energy, this and the mother energy. And these two energies are what Christ is saying make everything visible in our world. Everything. It's his explanation of electromagnetism. It is the explanation of elements. It's the explanation of human form. It's the explanation of plants and animals. Everything, everything is because of these two creative energies come together to bring things into physical manifestation. The more I understand them, and I'm thinking, you know, if I had to rate this on 0 to 10, 10 being most, I'm probably at a 2.5 or a 3 at this point after a couple of years of doing this. It's like, yeah. And that's appealing to me. It's real appealing to me. It means I can continue to grow. I can continue to reach out. And I am going to find awareness, knowledge that continues to nourish me. And in fact, what I had intended to talk about today was the issues of success. And one of the things that is noted about success, if you're going to embark on any kind of activity, it can't be too easy. It has to be sufficiently challenging. If it's too easy, then we don't reach. But if it's challenging, we do reach, and we draw to us the resources we need. And so this idea of reading a book, reading, studying Christ's letters, is like, wow, I don't understand this. This is way above my pay grade. That's exciting to me. It's not the same old stuff that I've heard and read or thought by myself a million times. It's new things, and I'll bet you've had the same experience if you've spent more than 5 minutes looking at that information. It's like, wow, I didn't know this. In order to make this mine, in order to turn this into knowledge, I really have to spend some time thinking about it, studying it, meditating about it, praying about it, opening up to it, allowing the consciousness to penetrate. And as I do that, these ideas of father energy and mother energy have become more and more powerful to me. I think it's fantastic. If you turn around and look, and this is how I see it, on the one hand, that if we look at our fathers and mothers, I'm talking about our biological parents, they're really representatives. They're representations of Father God energy and Mother God energy. That's really the source of their behaviors to a certain extent. It's certainly the source of their being. Now, these energies are encased in human consciousness, you know, generational issues and the stuff that we've learned as we've grown up, just like our parents. Whatever they experienced is going to show up in the way they carry themselves. If we look at our parents and say, you know, they're really doorways to the divine. They're doorways to father-mother life. They're portals. As I focus on them and my consciousness can see them in a certain light, I might be able to access stuff that, if I refuse to think of them, if I refuse to reach out for them with love or compassion, I am depriving myself. I'm like a root on a plant that is refusing to reach. Like, that's not that good. That's not that good of an idea. As men and women, we can continue to draw father-mother life to us by the way we choose to think and feel and speak and act. And the easiest way to do it is the way we think and feel and speak and act with regard to our biological mother and our biological father. Here's an image for you. I have a salt tablet in my hand that I'm going to drop into a glass of water. That salt tablet is going to dissolve in the water, and it's no longer going to be visible to me. I'm going to look and go, oh, it's gone. That tablet's gone. Well, the tablet is gone. But what is a tablet anyway? Isn't a tablet just a word that we use to describe how the energy of that salt was shaped? And it's shaped that way for convenience. You go, the same is true if we were to talk about a capsule, which would, you know, you think of a capsule, you go, oh, there's salt inside that capsule. The capsule itself typically is made out of gelatin. Okay. So salt is inside of a gelatin container. Or we have liquid salt. We go, oh, that just means the salt is very easily poured, measured and poured. Yep. But the essence is the same. I may have lost the tablet, but I didn't lose the salt. I believe that if our fathers and our mothers' physical forms have dissolved after death, we still have access to their energies. Their consciousness still exists in even a pure form because it's no longer encapsulated in the human body that in and of itself has a lot of memories, has a lot of experiences contained in it, adding to what can be construed to be static in a lot of cases. So outside of that capsule, their energy still exists. If you had a grandmother who was very important to your formation of your identity, her energy is still available to you. What is a grandmother? Grandmothers are a form of divine energy shaped into women, and those women give form to our mothers and fathers. That's it. It's the label we use to describe that form of divine energy. If we consider our roots, right, and you can pretty much draw this almost as a line, right? You could put a dot on the page, that's us, and then you draw a line below us that represents our mothers and our fathers, and the lines below them that represent our grandmothers. You could almost, and grandparents, grandfathers, you could almost say that they're nodules on our roots that gave birth to our mothers and fathers who gave birth to you and me. No grandparents, no us. When our parents, our grandparents, like Granny, our spouses, our children, our friends, like Nancy, they dissolve back into the divine ocean of God, we can still recognize their existence. It makes complete sense to me for us to say, you are always with me. As I said before, I see our parents, our grandparents, our spouses, our children, our friends, as representations, they're representative forms of divine consciousness, similar to that tablet or capsule or liquid being a form of some chemical substance. When we recognize that they and we are in our bodies with our thoughts and our feelings, our words and our actions, simply consciousness. We're simply consciousness shaped into various forms. If you're a woman, you're shaped into a different form than me, a man. If you're a man, you're similar in some ways, but we've got different sizes, we've got different colors, we've got different hairstyles, we've got different shapes, we've got different ages because we started on our physicality at different times. But we're consciousness molded into certain forms. Just like our parents and their parents, like our spouses and our children and our friends, we've been shaped by the energies of our experiences that pushed us in various ways and pulled us in other ways. They drove us on to our benefit or held us back to our benefit or our disadvantage in each of those cases. We got shaped by these pushes and pulls. The more we become aware of their experiences in life, the more compassion and love for them we will feel. the more love and compassion we can feel for them, and by them I mean our parents and grandparents and our friends and our children and our neighbors, the more compassion and love we can feel for them, the higher the vibrations our connection to our roots is available to us. Since you and I now are the physically alive parts of our family trees, the responsibility to reach out in thought and feeling to these other representations of divine consciousness, our fathers, mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, everyone, so as to know the power behind and within all creative things, falls on our shoulders. It's not an overwhelming burden of responsibility. It, in fact, is part and parcel of the whole purpose of our lives, to continue this reaching out, this continuing reaching out for greater awareness, greater connection to the energies of divine consciousness, whether they're in our parents or plants, whether they're in our puppies or somebody else that is in our lives. Our job is to reach out and look for that. On the one hand, we are and can be the roots for children, whether they're alive or they've died. We can be the supporting structure, almost like a trellis. If you want to grow certain plants like ivy or maybe roses, I think you've got to stake them out. You've got to provide some form of support so they can grow to their full potential. When we model our awareness of the divine consciousness's presence in our lives, within and around us, then we can serve as a model for other people who are, I'm going to use the image of you to support my growth. If we can model that to people, we can do wonders for their benefit. I think this idea that our energy changes when we become aware that we are an expression of divine consciousness put inside a capsule of our bodies, and that body is shaped by experiences that we've had over the course of our lives. And so is everybody else around us. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody appreciates that. Not everybody understands that. And frankly, not everybody is interested in that. But I'm thinking you and I are. We don't need to convince them of our point of view of being right. We need to convince ourselves our point of view is right. And this point of view, I think, you are always with us, is a point of view that is very supportive of us. I think that when we can expand our consciousness to see the divine father, mother life all around us, then we're able to see this electromagnetic structure that everything is some form of an electromagnetic structure, but we'll be able to see it around us. When we would look at a snowflake, or a raindrop, or a bud forming on a tree, a bird sitting on a branch, a child playing, clouds hovering in the sky until the winds chase them across the sky, all of that is evidence of the presence of divine consciousness. And as we increase our awareness of the truth, and that truth for me now, and I'll repeat it again, is you are always with me. When that's true for each of us, we don't have to be lonely. We were never alone, even though our thoughts and our feelings and our words we said to ourselves and others led to feeling lonely, we were never alone. We were never alone then, and we're not alone now. You go, wouldn't we like to know that? If we're willing to know that, if we're willing to reach out to loved ones and important people in our lives, with feelings of gratitude, of compassion, of kindness, of love, we're going to grow more gratitude, compassion, kindness, and love in our lives. We're going to reap what we sow. So as we transmit that to parents alive or not, husbands, wives alive or not, children alive or not, friends alive or not, if we transmit those energies to them, we are going to receive more of those energies in turn. One of the odd things, it's not the only one, but one of the main odd things about Christianity to me is the worship of Jesus' body and the minor emphasis on his consciousness that goes on Sundays or in Christian conversation. It's like emphasizing the container and largely ignoring the contents. I think pretty much everybody could agree, even those people who worship Jesus as a physical being, would say that, you know, I don't think he came to get me to worship him as a physical being. He was trying to demonstrate certain things and even greater things you can do. It's like, in order to do these greater things, what do we have to do? We have to have a consciousness at his level, Christ consciousness. But somehow, that gets overlooked in the conversation. Maybe it's too complicated. Maybe people, if they knew that, would say, oh, if that's what I'm going to do, I don't need to show up in church on Sunday. I could stay home and meditate and pray in order to reach out to divine consciousness, to try to understand the source of my being. It's like, oh, we didn't mean to do that. We didn't mean for you not to come to church and make donations. Okay. That's a whole different deal. For centuries, religions have been arguing and fighting to the death in a lot of cases, over my tablet is better than your capsule, and your capsule is not as good as my tablet, and back and forth, back and forth, instead of seeking or even acknowledging it was the consciousness of Jesus and other great teachers that was really the value of their presence. That, hey, I'm here to teach you about consciousness, not about worshiping my body. Like, you, Christ consciousness, are always with me. You, divine consciousness, are always with me. You, Father, Mother, Life, are always with me. We recognize, you know what? People say every once in a while, the other day somebody said, wow, seeing a picture of my son for the first time, wow, your son looks just like you. And somebody has said to me over the years, oh, you look like your father. Oh, you look like your mother. You act like your mother. You act like your father. Yeah. You know why? Because they're always with me. As our stress decreases, because our sense of abandonment goes away, because our insecurity goes away, because our sense of loneliness goes away, our awareness of the presence of Father, Mother, Life within us and around us will increase. Then, the next time you or I look at a plant or a tree or a puppy or a cloud or a person, you and I are seeing proof of the presence of the divine in our lives. I love a lot of the quotes from the Christ letters, and this one is a special one because of the work I do. You do not have to heal your bodies or improve yourselves. You just need to heal your beliefs. If we can know, really know that you, capital Y, you are always with me, we would have changed our fearful, scarcity-bound, self-protective thoughts and feelings, words and actions, our defensiveness, into a peace beyond all understanding. As I end this service with the prayer from letter 8, which I've pluralized, please listen to the promises and the expectations of God's presence for each of us in this prayer. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. Every once in a while I say to myself, I think you're doing that. You know what I really need? I need help with my awareness so I can perceive the true reality of you, which is all around me, all around me. Third part, we know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.